We are grateful to God for allowing us to assemble once again on this, the second Sunday of the month of September, just a few days prior to that day when the Twin Towers were attacked. Amen. But God is still good, and his mercy endure forever. Let me thank God for our young people today. Amen. Amen. Now, this is supposed to be their day. They had some stuff planned, but we're going to have to let them do it again. Maybe we might let them finish them other two praise dances on the fourth Sunday. But however, they're going to have a praise dance this evening in our church anniversary. And we thank God for our musicians, our minister of music, and our drummer. Cause now, it takes time to have children singing like that. Amen. That just don't just happen automatically. Take some time and some patience. And we thank God for our youth, and they are constantly growing. We are grateful to all of the visitors who are sharing with us, and to our deacons, and especially to our Reverend Hood, and to everybody. Amen. Today we want to call our attention. Oh, and I forgot, if you listen at the radio, they forgot and put the wrong tape on. They put Sunday before last tape on. So I called them and they told me they're going to give us a free 30 minutes sometime during the week. Right. Amen. Amen. They just forgot. I was listening and I said, wait a minute, that's the last time. That's the wrong one. Amen. But that's okay. Now, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first Corinthians. Chapter number 3, and I want to read some verses beginning at verse number 9, and our emphasis or our subject will be taken from verse number 10. And we ask that we all stand with us in honor of God's word. Third chapter, 1 Corinthians. Amen. Everybody, guys, say amen. Anybody need a little more time? Say, hold up. Okay. All right, we're going to hold up. Amen. All right. I believe everybody just about got it now. Get that verse 9 and say, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? In the last part of verse 10, it says, take heed how you build. I want to talk from the subject, be careful how you build. Amen? Be careful how you build. You may be seated. You may be relaxed. Let me begin by saying that our author, Apostle Paul, is speaking to the church at Corinth, because he realized that they were greatly influenced by the Greek culture, and great philosophers such as Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates, and the like. And then in addition to that, the Greeks themselves were master builders, because even today many of their architectural masterpieces are still considered as some of the most magnificent structures ever built. But now our American culture is certainly not known for the same kind of architectural expertise, but we do have a general knowledge of buildings and building materials. Although despite the fact that we as Americans have a general knowledge of building and building supplies, we've developed what I call a Home Depot mentality, because we like to fix things ourselves when we can. And so when we go to our local Home Depot, we have an enormous number of choices in the building supplies that's available to us. But now when we fix it ourselves, we want to be careful to select the right building supplies, because we value our homes and we want to make a good profit if we ever decide to sell it. And so in our text, Paul is speaking to us, God is speaking to us through Paul about spiritual building supplies and our spiritual temple. Now, Paul knew he was speaking to architectural experts of his day when he said, according to verse 10, he said, "But by the grace of God, I am a master builder, not in building buildings, but building up the lives of God's people." And so he's giving God all the glory for being a master builder, which says to us that God is all sufficient, and we must always acknowledge that he is, in order to build our spiritual temples on a solid foundation. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." My brothers and sisters, Jesus is that firm foundation. And to build our lives on anything else other than Jesus is like building your house on a foundation of sand. And when the winds come and the storms of life come, your building will not stand. Now, it might look good from the outside, but it's built on a shaky and an unstable foundation. Notice, if you will, in that last part, verse 10, he said, "But let each take heed how he builds." In other words, we must be careful how we build. But then in verse 12, Paul explains that there are several kinds of building material available. He said there's gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw. Now, Brother John, he used these materials figuratively to bring out a further point in verse 13 and 15. For he said, "Whatever we use to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ will one day be tested by fire on the day of judgment." Now, if what you built survives the fire, you receive a reward. But now, if you didn't, you will suffer loss. Not the loss of your salvation, but loss of reward. In other words, one will lose their reward, but they will escape like a person escapes a burning building. Are you with me? And when you come out, you'll be smelling like smoke. And so we must be careful how we build our spiritual lives, because one day everything that we did will be tested by fire. But now, before I go any further, I need to tell us that Paul is not talking to lost folk here. Are you with me? But he's talking to saved folk. But now, as saved folk, we need to know that the saved and the lost, we're not going to be judged together. Because when Christ returns, the first thing he's going to do, he's going to take his church out of the world, both dead and alive. Revelation 25 and 6. 6 says that the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. And he said this is the first resurrection, which suggests to me if there's a first, there has to be what? A second. And he said, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But now, just because we are saved, it doesn't mean that we won't be judged. And it's just that as Christians, we won't be judged for sin because Christ took care of our sins on the cross. When he became our substitute, our sacrifice for sin, past, present, and future. Then in the resurrection, those of us who are saved, we have been given a full pardon from the penalty of sin, which is eternal damnation. And in other words, we have been justified. We have been eternally pardoned. Why is this? Because we read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But still, we must be careful how we build. Because, you know, I believe that there will be some regrets. Amen. Meaning some saints will experience regret. Regret because they will have an awareness of the loved ones and others who went on to hell because of their lack of witnessing to the lost. For the Bible tells all of us in Acts 1:8, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will become witnesses to me. Because the only thing that will not go up in smoke and judgment are the souls that we have brought to the Lord through our witness. And so even if we make it to heaven, some of our loved ones, somebody's husband, somebody's wife, somebody's child, classmate, a friend will go to hell. But now there's an old slogan that say, friends don't let friends drive drunk. But I have another one. Friends don't let friends go to hell. Just think, Lord, you will be saved, are you here? But you will suffer loss when those you love are not with you because you fail to share the gospel with them when you have had a chance. Just imagine you in heaven and you look around and don't see your loved one. One that you refuse to witness to. One that you didn't have time to witness to when you had a chance. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, be careful how you build. Amen. Because only gold, silver, and precious stone will stand the test of fire. But if you're building your life and ministries on wood, hay, and straw, these building materials, I need to tell you, are combustible, and they will go up in smoke. And so I believe the challenge before us this morning is, how do we know if we're building with the right materials? Well, now, most folk are somewhat computer literate, and so suppose your computer could be programmed to make digital flashes as an indicator of something. In other words, imagine, if you will, that you have a digital computer reflector that indicates if you're building your life and ministry on the right material. If you're building with gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. Well, the first indicator that reveals how we're building is that of attitude. In other words, 1 Corinthians, Paul said, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. My brothers and sisters, willingness is a good indicator of attitude. And you know, it's important about the attitude we have when we do things for the Lord. Are you here with me? Let me ask you, how many of you have ever asked your children to do something like clean up their room and perhaps wash the dishes? Now, often they'll do it in obedience, but they won't do it willingly. Some of them, so to speak, will cop an attitude. In most cases, this type of attitude displeases the parents. Well, in the same way, many Christians are obedient with an attitude, meaning some folk come to church out of duty or to please someone else, but not willingly. Sometimes folks even praise God with an attitude. Oh, Lord, here they go again with that raising their hands and stuff. I get so tired of this. I don't believe it take all this, but I'm going to just raise them because I don't want nobody looking at me funny this morning.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.